Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the skyline of Majestic Buckhead, where it has finally gotten warm, like you would expect that it would in the deep south. We've had more rain this year so far than we had all of last year, so we understand what it's like for our friends who are living in Seattle. We've got a lot of stuff to do and a lot of things to talk about, and because none of these things are resolved, we're going to continue to talk about the scandals, the phony scandals, according to President Barack Hussein Obama and his press secretary, Jay Carney. And we've got a number of things to get to concerning that. Let me just start, because we're going to spend most of the time on Benghazi, I want to start with the IRS, just kind of get it out of the way. One of the things that makes the IRS scandal, quote-unquote, phony, is that, well, it wasn't just conservative and Tea Party groups that were targeted. There were also progressive groups that were targeted. So, you know, it was just kind of like we targeted everybody. Well, NPR, National Public Radio, this weekend did some good journalism, and they went through and they found out who the IRS was targeting. And by far, the number one target was something that had the word Tea Party in it, by far. There were a total of 104 organizations that were conservative, Tea Party, or Patriot targeted by the IRS. There were 7 for the progressives. So let's just, I mean, you know, that's 15-1. So the whole idea that it's that they were targeting everybody is just nonsense. Plus, they asked a total of 33 questions of those 7 progressive groups of the 104 that were conservative. They asked 1,552. That means that they were asked 3 times more questions of the conservatives. Plus, all of the progressive groups were approved, all 7. Only 46% of the conservative groups were. So the government was most assuredly involved in taking a look at the things with the conservative groups and just saying, no, we're not going to do it. And it was for political reasons, not on the merit of it. That's just wrong. It's not to use the Internal Revenue Service to target your political opponent has never been done, not really. They, you know, the people have cried foul about it happening to 1 or 2 people, but not as a policy issue. It just hasn't happened. It just hasn't happened. Now, that being the case, we got a significant problem with, you know, with what's going on. All right, now, from there, I want to just pop on over to what's happening in Texas with the trial of Major Nadal Malik a song. In kind of an interesting twist, the victims of the 2009 Fort Hood massacre will be cross-examined by Major Hassan. Staff Sergeant Alonzo Lunsford said, quote, "I will be cross-examined by the man who shot me." Doesn't that seem just a little strange? Well, it is strange. But everything that we're talking about today is strange. But this is, in a certain sense, it's good news. In our system of justice, a man is innocent until proven guilty. I mean, he admitted he did it, but he hasn't had his day in court. Should have had his day in court years ago. They should never have called this workplace violence. He murdered 13 people in cold blood, were unarmed, and wounded 30 others. Because it was workplace violence, they have been giving him his paycheck, and he has escrowed close to $300,000 now. Now, the good news about that is that it's frozen, because if it wasn't, you know what he'd do? He'd go ahead and give it to Al-Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood or Hamas or the Army of Allah, or something, because that's who he is. Now, the reason that it's workplace violence is because President Obama and Eric Holder, the Attorney General, do not want to call terror, terror. You'll remember, in the campaign for the 2012 election, we had Obama say, well, Bin Laden's dead and Al-Qaeda is on the run. Remember him saying that? Richard, you're on the line. Do you remember him saying that? Dick? I guess he isn't on the line. But he did say it. There you are, Richard. Are you on the line now?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah. Do you remember him saying that?
Absolutely. He said Al-Qaeda was decimated and that they were on the run.
Decimated. Yeah. And yet now we have 22
embassies
that are closed. And yeah, they've been closed for a couple of days, and they're going to remain closed. Now, in a certain sense, you know, okay, good. That's good preventative medicine. But it's not a good thing for the United States of America that we are being forced by this ragtag brigade to have to close our embassies. Why do you think that's happened?
He doesn't want to admit that there's terror in this country, in this world.
I killed
Bin Laden, and everything is over and done with.
Yeah, that's the way they want to do it, is kind of like, okay, the war's over, we won, let's do something else. That's what they want, but it isn't true. It's false. And because you remember the attack in Benghazi, the next day, the president said that he was going to bring the people that did this to justice. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In the Rose Garden. He said that along with the clip thing with, you know, the other liar, Hillary Clinton. And they both, all of them, they lied to the American people about what caused this. Lied. Flat out lied. They knew that it wasn't true, and they lied. They tried to deceive us because there is something underneath that, and it's beginning to come out.
He couldn't find the people that were involved with this, but CBS did. They interviewed the guy.
Say that one more time.
Nope. I said the FBI has not been able to find any of these people involved in it, but CBS did. They did an interview with the guy.
CNN
too, yeah.
Sat down with the guy for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And had an espresso.
Yeah.
Enjoyed themselves.
Yeah.
And the guy said he'd be willing to talk to the FBI, but he's never been contacted. But worse than that, there have been no reprisals whatsoever. All right. Now, let's just say that you and I are members of Al-Qaeda, and we're Muslims in the Middle East, and we pulled off this thing in Benghazi, and, we used a cattle prod on the American ambassador before he finally died. He was raped and sodomized and, beaten and killed. And we did it, and we got away with it. But we were scared because we were thinking that the drones would be headed our way. We did it because we thought we were doing something for Allah, and we were willing to pay the price. But what happened?
Nothing.
Not a dadgum thing. Because Barack Hussein Obama is like that Howdy Doody character, Phineas T. Luster. He doesn't do what and now, because they know he won't, they're ready to do more. They are terrorists on steroids, knowing that our commander-in-chief is unwilling to do the necessary things to protect our citizens. So what have we done? Shut our embassies. If we're terrorists, what are you thinking? They're afraid of us. We've got them on the run. Now it's the time to do more. That's what I'd be thinking, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think you might be wrong, Jack, about the Howdy Doody. I think Obama is more like Dilly Dally.
Dilly Dally. I'd forgotten about Dilly Dally. there's another comparison that I'm thinking about. Today, A-Rod got suspended for the rest of this year and all of next year, but he's going to fight back because he won't admit the truth about what he's done. Not really. And he can
don't
get
want the
more.
Money.
Yeah, that's it. He can get more money by doing it this way, and that's all that he's interested in. And, you know, as you and I both know, we are Red Sox fans, and that means that our favorite team is the Red Sox, and our second favorite team is whoever's playing the Yankees.
Whoever's beating the Yankees.
Or whoever's beating the Yankees, if they're beating them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I've always respected Yankees and the Yankee fans because they've done it the right way. A-Rod is such a disgrace to the city of New York, to the New York Yankees, to baseball, to everything. And yet, he started out and he was the golden boy when Seattle got him at 18 and he hit 50 home runs 3 years in a row. And isn't he wonderful? Then, of course, they got the thing, he admitted to the drug thing. But then he was still doing it after he did that. So he just isn't somebody with character, and he reminds me so much of Barack Obama.
because Barack Obama, like A-Rod, has never been who he said he was. And he's always been interested in what's in it for him at the expense of everybody else. And if the Yankees are a quality organization and have been, the United States is a quality country and has been, and we are being disgraced by Barack Obama in exactly the same way that A-Rod has disgraced the Yankees and baseball. Now, that's exactly what I think. What do you think?
No, I absolutely agree. And I, you know, at one point when A-Rod was playing for the Rangers and his contract was coming up, and the Red Sox put in a bid for him, but because the Yankees bid more money, that's where A-Rod went. So his money trail has followed him his whole career. And now that his career, for all intents and purposes, is over with, and I think I keep hearing that if he goes after, you know, this to try and change what's going on, that the commissioner has the right to ban him for life, which means he would be like Pete Rose and would never get into the Hall of Fame, or his virtually his career would be over. Which I think after 2014 would be over too now.
Here's what I'm thinking. Even if Obama makes it all the way through to the end of his term, which I think that, you know, there's a chance that he won't, at some point it's all going to come out, every bit of it.
Yep.
And 20 years from now, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody that says that they supported Barack Obama, because they will be so ashamed of what has happened and what he has done. Because, and this is my opinion, and I can't prove it, but this is what it is. I think that when they made the decision for him to run, knowing that he was constitutionally unqualified because he was not born in Hawaii, that it's like, okay, we aren't doing anything by the law. We're going to do what we want to do, regardless of what the Constitution says. And he swore to defend the United States and the Constitution of the United States, and he has not done that.
No.
And
anything,
you know,
but that.
Anything but that. I mean, these are pretty strong things that we're saying about him. And yet at the same time, you know, we have to live with him. And in the Middle East, as when we're closing these embassies, that's a sign. It's a sign of prudence in one sense, but it's also a sign of weakness and of capitulation. And our power and influence is waning, and who is picking up the void? The Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Putin stronger than Obama? Putin smarter than Obama? Putin shrewder than Obama? And
he's got more chutzpah.
He's definitely got more chutzpah. And in the influence, and of course, who are people that are the most vulnerable? Well, not even our embassy people, because we can pull them back. We can, you know, close an embassy and bring all the people home. The people who live there, the Israelis, and the Coptic Christians in Egypt, and other Christians in Syria, and in Morocco, and in Nigeria, and in Turkey, and in other places in the Middle East, where all of a sudden it's, you know, where they have lived really fairly at ease for hundreds of years. Now they're being murdered. and there isn't anybody there to raise a hand. The British are gone. The French are gone. And now we're leaving. And we're leaving it open to the influence of the Russians in North Africa and the Chinese in South Africa as the United States, as the world superpower, is declining, and all of it, every single bit, is at the feet of Barack Hussein Obama, who is, as we speak, is getting ready to enjoy his vacation on Martha's Vineyard, which we've been to many times being from Massachusetts. I love Martha's Vineyard, but this is a, you know, we're at a time in the history of this nation where we need to have a strong leader, and we just don't. He's not strong.
Nor is the vice president.
And now I saw a bumper sticker that said, "I'm ready for Hillary." And I thought, oh my God.
Something about the frying pan into the fire.
Yeah. We've got some really tough days ahead of us, and I'm apprehensive about our ability to, you know, to actually survive all of this. And, you know, they say, well, you know, the economy is getting stronger. Look at what's happening in the stock market. Well, the reason for that isn't that the companies are so strong, it's that the Bernanke and the Fed are pumping out $85 billion worth of money that has nothing behind it, and they're investing it in Wall Street. So it's the government investing money, and, you know, to these companies that are supporting Obama, that's making this great leaps and bounds of how strong the economy is, but it is not being seen and felt by, you know, the average person. So the fabulously wealthy progressives are becoming increasingly fabulously wealthy, while the IRS is targeting, or has targeted, I don't guess they could get away with doing that anymore. Who knows what, and, you know, they've, all of these subpoenas, they've subpoenaed, and they've just subpoenaed John Kerry for from the State Department, for failure to, you know, want him to come before, ISIS committee and say, why have you not given us the material that we have legitimately subpoenaed? And, you know, they've given them maybe one, you know, so, well, we've given them 25,000 documents. When the subpoena calls for 250,000 documents, it was all, you know, phony scandals. You know, the Republicans are taking their eye off the ball. Fortunately, there are a couple of good ones who have absolutely positively held on and done the right thing and are pursuing justice. And people are very critical of John Boehner for not making a select committee, but he has stood strong with these committees doing this. So, you know, perhaps he knows more than we do about it, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt at this particular point, saying, okay, we're making progress. I remember, most people don't, you do, but when Nixon, when the whole Watergate thing came down, there was just a little bit that, you know, that came out, and then there'd be a story every two or three days, and then, you know, a bigger one would happen, and then it would kind of fade a little bit. It took a whole year of constant pressure by Woodward and Bernstein to kind of get this to where it went to the fore. The same thing is happening now. And you know, it used to be that people say, well, you know, you hear these things from these obscure news people, but you don't hear them from the New York Times, or the Washington Post or NBC or ABC, CBS, you know, so it doesn't count. Well, since all of them are in bed with Barack Obama, that's not where it's coming from. It does come from Fox News. It's coming from British papers and from, you know, people like Breitbart News and other places that are very obscure but have gotten to the, you know, to, you know, the point of what of some stuff really making the headline news. We're going to get to the bottom of this. I just feel it.
Yeah.
At the same time, the CIA, in an effort to keep their people quiet, have been giving them polygraphs every week to make sure they haven't talked to the press. Some of the survivors of the Benghazi attack have been moved across country and given aliases, they're involved
like
with the Dilly Dally. Yeah, just, you know, this is just, and it's wrong.
Yeah. Try to hide them. Yeah.
Now, if you're trying to hide people, I'd say that
you got something to hide
in the world from a phony scandal, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It's very real.
Yeah.
It's very real about Benghazi. It's very real about the IRS. It's very real about targeting these news agencies and the newspaper people and reporters. And as they start getting into things, it looks like that there's scandal with the EPF. Obviously, we've got stuff in the Department of Justice where Eric Holder, they got him lying to, before Congress. I mean, it's like, pick a scandal. They're all over the place.
Jack, one thing before, when you were talking about the court-martial, that I'm sure a lot of people don't realize that in a court-martial, the whatever his name is, I thank God I forgot it.
Major Nadal Hassan.
All right. Well, he's no longer a major because he gave up his commission, or he wants to. But in a court martial, you cannot plead guilty, though he did say he has admitted to doing it. But you can't plead guilty. You have to have a court martial. And part of the whole court martial, as you said, is that he'll have an opportunity to cross-examine these people. And that sergeant who was shot 7 times, I heard him on the radio this morning, and him saying, this will be a very awkward confrontation, but he's looking forward to it. And knowing that at the end of the court martial, if they find him guilty, he will be executed.
I hope
fine
so.
By me.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that. I didn't know that you couldn't.
Yeah, you
that.
Cannot plead guilty. No, because he's admitted to it. There shouldn't even have been a trial, but because it's military, he goes through a court martial.
Very good. Very interesting. Well.
I do bring something to the table.
Well, and with that, we'll just say that the Braves are on a 10-game winning streak. The Dodgers are playing great ball. So, the best rivalry right now is the Rays and the Red Sox. And this is pro football. It's about to start.
Jack, one other quick thing before I forget too. The owner of the Red Sox just bought the New York, just bought from the New York Times, bought the Boston Globe. The New York Times 10 years ago bought the Globe for $1.1 billion. John Henry just bought the Globe for $70 million.
Unbelievable. We got to go. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.